And welcome back to The Female Drive. I am your host, Estelle Clapham, and I am so excited to be back with you. It has been far too long as far as I'm concerned. I know it has been a long time since my last podcast episode. I think it's been around 12 months and I have absolutely missed it. I have missed everyone. I have been behind the scenes working hard, working ridiculously hard away from the podcast, doing lots of fun projects. And if you follow along, you may have seen some, but there are so many more coming and I cannot wait to share with you, which I will at some point. But for now, this is a special edition episode to fill you in on one project that I have been putting out in the public eye, one that you may be familiar with, and that is one around online abuse within the F1 community, a partnership which I did with Areto Labs, one that I am extremely, extremely passionate about. The reason why I am passionate about this subject is because many people have said to me that online abuse, you know, I get the constant conversation around like that I should just write it off because these people are just trolls. And we get the term trolls quite often. But at the end of the day, trolls aren't bots. They are human beings behind their computers. And I'm really interested in the psychology behind it because it isn't someone just yelling at their TV screen while watching the sport. I'm interested in the process of what goes through someone's mind to actually think the thought in the first place, to process it, to write it out, and to click send. These abusive thoughts to other people, to drivers, to people in the media, you know, it's perpetuating hate. And what people don't understand is it isn't just online. It ends up being trackside. And those human beings take those thoughts with them. To the track, they take them to their day-to-day lives and they perpetuate this culture out in society, out into the sport. And so for me as an F1 fan, I think it's a really important issue to address because it's part of our culture, whether we want to admit it or not. It is part of our culture. And if we don't address it in the first instance, we will never progress. We will never progress in supporting further change for the better because we'll never be able to support change because we'll always be stuck in this mindset. So I have a written piece that is out today. Some people don't like to read. Some people don't have the time to read. Some people just prefer the spoken word. So I have done this as a podcast episode as well, just for the people that prefer this medium. Podcast just suits some people better. So I didn't want to just do an article. I wanted to give people the opportunity to also absorb this as a podcast as well. So this episode is to give you the opportunity to listen to what I had written down, to listen to, I suppose, my thoughts and what I had experienced through the process of the partnership with Areto Labs. It wasn't an enjoyable one. It was confronting at times, but I think it's important to share my experience so that people understand the process and what exactly has happened through the months that I recorded this data. So what you're about to hear is my excerpt, my written article, about my experience. So I hope you understand and I hope you enjoy. What I learned reading vile online comments about F1. I have been on a journey as a longtime F1 supporter to understand why our culture and fan culture specifically is not always a kind one. I was triggered to act when reports came out of the 2022 Austrian Grand Prix of fans being abused, primarily in underrepresented groups, something I had experienced just 12 months prior. That is when I connected with the Reto Labs, who not only hold the same values as me, to see a change in the world of sport and online abuse, but they also have the incredible technology to back it up. Partnering was a no-brainer, and I knew instantly that our findings would be eye-opening. When we started tracking the messages online, I knew that it was going to be confronted with some pretty toxic online behaviour. What I hadn't prepared myself for was an unravelling of some extremely dark and concerning posts that have emotionally affected me in ways I don't think I will ever forget. I was forced to reflect. Is this our community? Is this a sport I want to support? One that has fans that not only threaten the lives of others, but are on the verge of extremely dangerous? Yes, I know. It's not all fans, but it's way too many. The truth is, I am an empath. I take on a lot emotionally, so I've doubted if this job was for me. I leaned into my strength and resilience, often reminding myself that I think anyone with any sort of moral compass surely should have the same reactions that I'm having, right? Social media can connect people and be a platform for laughter, education, and inspiration, but it can also be a pit of absolute darkness. The most shocking post that I ever came across was a doctored image created by a fan that they shared on Twitter. I could not believe the image hadn't been reported and removed instantly by Twitter. The image was a familiar one to anyone that lived through 2020, an image that is burnt into my memory. It was an image of George Floyd's murder, but in his place, Lewis Hamilton's face and Max Verstappen kneeling on his neck. My reaction was a physical one. The same reaction I had when seeing that image back in 2020. This is no longer just a reflection of sport. This is a reflection of society. Only 14 years ago in 2008, at the Spanish Grand Prix, F1 fans were coming to races in blackface and mocking Lewis Hamilton and his family. Instead of rallying behind him and calling out this abhorrent behaviour, many within the F1 paddock explained that what had happened was not a racist attack, but just fans getting overly excited. I think it's all nonsense, Bernie Eccleston, the previous owner of F1, said on BBC Radio at the time. I don't think it was anything to do with racism. There are a few people in Spain, and that was probably beginning as a joke rather than anything abusive. I think people look and read into things that are not there. I don't see why people should have been insulted by it. These things are people expressing themselves. Ex-F1 driver David Coulthard, also at the time, labelled the controversy as a non-event. He said, "It is trying to be built into something much bigger than it is. What happened in Spain because of those four guys, I'm sorry, but it hardly represents a nation of racists. Formula One may have many failings, but it does not come close to the racism you see in people's first love, and that's football." In my eyes, the line is clear. The doctored image posted on Twitter in 2023 is racist, and so was blackface in 2008. However, it doesn't seem the F1 community has agreed. So where is the line? At what point does freedom of speech become hate speech? As a community, we need to agree on standards and keep each other accountable to them. The day I saw that doctored image, here in Australia, a Noongar Yamatji child, Cassius Turvey, was murdered in a racist-fueled attack as he was walking home from school. He was 15. When the police were asked about the situation, part of their response was that he was at the wrong place at the wrong time. he was just walking home from school. People jumped to social media to give their opinions about the murder. So it begs the question, what role does sport play in society? The truth is, a lot more than people are willing to admit. The resurgence of the mullet hairstyle in Australia, as ugly as it may arguably be, is evidence that one sportsperson has the power to influence an entire generation. You get the standard response that people don't want to be too political in sports. However, this goes beyond politics and becomes a conversation about human rights. When governments stop putting human rights into their political agendas, the lines will no longer be blurred about what is political and what is protecting a human and their basic rights to live in peace and, above all, in safety. F1 seems to have exhausted tactics around encouraging good fan behaviour. After the death of George Floyd, they launched the We Races One campaign, including a hashtag of the same name. That came and went, and it felt like not much within the sport had changed. When the reports of abuse started coming out of the 2022 Austrian GP, they tried to get another campaign, the hashtag Drive It Out campaign. Again, it came and went, and I'm still trying to figure out what impact this had. I don't think the F1 organization should be responsible for every single fan that comes into their lives, but I do believe they have a responsibility to be actively working on making sure that fans are safe both in person and online. This progress got pushed back even further when earlier this year, FIA President Mohammed bin Sulayman presented a ruling that stated that drivers were banned from making political, religious, and personal statements without prior approval from the sport's governing body. It was received with mixed reactions, with most of the drivers voicing concerns about the ruling. Two-time world champion and current F1 driver Max Verstappen said he believed the ban was not necessary. I'm normally not that outspoken because, first of all, it's tough as a racing driver to be fully committed to that in terms of going into everything and making sure that you know all the facts. But I don't think it's necessary because you're basically making sure people aren't allowed to speak anymore, which I think we should be allowed. It was reported that current F1 driver Valtteri Bottas had spoken to Swedish media and Sky Sports News, saying that it was like the FIA were trying to control drivers. He said, "But normally when we've been speaking, it's to try and make the world a better place. That's my view. I don't think the ruling's necessary, but that's Formula One." David Coulthard came out in support of the ruling, saying, "And it's a bit like an acceptance speech at the Oscars. If everyone uses the opportunity to make it a political statement, there is no issue that's not important to someone. So we either have to mention everything, or maybe it's better not to say anything at all and concentrate on the sport." I would echo Valtteri Bottas in saying that the drivers that have used their platforms have done so with the intention of making the world a better place. I would also argue that the drivers have never used their platforms to drive political agendas, promote political candidates, or change election results while representing F1 over a race weekend. In regards to David Coulthard's comments, saying nothing at all is contributing to the issue we currently find ourselves in and is evident in our findings of online abuse. Saying nothing at all is why we have made barely any progress since the 2008 blackface incident. We were encouraged to say nothing at all then and encouraged to do so now. Perhaps if the ownership was on the FIA and the F1 to take action, create a supportive environment, and addressed a lot of these issues, the drivers wouldn't be the ones needing to take a stand or a knee. Every week during this process, I gathered data from Areto Labs and would report on the findings. I approached this initially with interest, but soon found out that this was interesting, yes, but above all, just heartbreaking. I tried to make sure that when reporting our findings, I led with facts. However, seeing the use of the N-word over and over again is and was deeply depressing and emotional. Seeing the term slave used to describe Lewis Hamilton and other people of color became unbearable. I thought to myself, where the hell am I? How do people still use this language in 2023? I read Lewis Hamilton's article in the September 2022 edition of Vanity Fair. In it, he discussed that when he wrote his autobiography, that he felt he needed to say the sport wasn't racist, when in fact, from the beginning of his karting days, he had experienced racism at almost every event. Those early years, we were just always trying to fit in, he said. My dad would just say, don't talk about that, just blend in. Although I have focused on race as an example, this is not the only time we have seen attacks on the underrepresented. We consistently see abuse towards the LGBTQI plus community, people with disabilities. Women are not left out of this picture either. Once again, we look to the representatives within F1 to set the standard for the community. When Susie Wolf, through her own success, drove for Williams in FP1 at the 2014 British Grand Prix, Sergio Perez was asked by Spanish media what he thought about it. To which he responded with remarks such as, imagine being beaten by a woman. That would be it. It's better that she goes to the kitchen. Perez apologised and Wolf accepted it as a bad joke and that it was taken out of context. However, I do wonder, firstly, what prompts such a response? Is it the culture that we've created in the first place that this kind of response is considered humour? Secondly, what responsibility do these figures have to make sure that they are not perpetuating stereotypes? Yes, between friends, perhaps this remark may have been regarded as nothing more than a joke. But when said to a global media company, you are setting a standard of how a woman's success is viewed in the sport. Success that we have fought very hard for and continue to fight for. The reason why I bring this up is that one of the biggest comments that I have seen online directed towards women in the sport is, get back in the kitchen. So did what Perez say back in 2014 have any influence on what is being said by fans now? They say that a fish rots from its head down. I am no way saying that F1 is a rotting fish, but I suppose I use this analogy to show the negative effect. I believe that the fans are not buying these superficial, hollow approaches of hashtags, and F1 saying that they will change the culture, but without providing any tangible actions. No one is taking their attempt seriously, so the people most vulnerable are still being attacked, and the abusers are getting progressively worse because there are no repercussions for their actions. This responsibility then falls on the people who are most affected by it. This is why I, like many, have taken action into my own hands. I wanted to show that the data does not lie. In doing so, I generated far more hate. People placing blame and abuse on each other, all under a post that showing that actually, a lot of this abuse is borderline dangerous. The amount of abuse I was receiving personally in my DMs and within comments was scary. It was something I hadn't been subjected to, but it was also confusing when all I was trying to do was highlight the data in the hope of changing attitudes for the better. I even tried reasoning with some people. I tried to ask them to just be kind, but it didn't work. I realized quickly that this beast is bigger than me. If fans don't see what the problem is here, I fear that all of this hard work of trying to change the culture is, dare I say, for nothing. Something is not translating, and I don't know what it is, but I do believe that F1 has a responsibility to action a plan on how to combat this once and for all. So yes, this process has been deeply upsetting, and I am sure that anyone who has been following along would be feeling much the same. However, I hope that what comes of this will not be so much doom and gloom. Although it's evident from our findings that there is a lot of toxic, abusive behavior online, there is also a small community of strong, powerful individuals that are keen to make a change. What F1 and the FIA haven't realized, and unfortunately haven't utilized, is the extremely powerful community of, dare I say, predominantly women, that are actively banding together to change the sport for the better. I am absolutely blown away by the number of people who are taking time out of their lives to actively work towards a better future for F1, not just for themselves, but for every person who has never felt accurately represented or heard. So although we aren't where we need to be, I'm encouraged by the fact that if F1 doesn't take the initiative to create change soon, they might have some strong-minded individuals knocking on their door.